Time now for our weekly panel. Welcome Katrina Rowe, friend of 103.2 and author of FromMouthsOfBabe.com. How you doing?
Hi, Erica. I'm well, thanks.
And Colette Smart, founder and director of Family Smart and psychologist for child and adolescents. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm good.
And lovely Aaron Wright from our breakfast program.
Lovely Aaron Wright. That's wonderful.
You were beautiful last week. This week you're lovely.
Okay. And we'll token see. Dad as token, well.
And token
dad. I think
dad.
That's fair to say.
We need to make that clear. Aaron is here to give us the male perspective.
Okay. Now, which we learned last week is very important.
Which we did learn about last
the
week.
The valuable male the valuable. Perspective.
Now, this week we're going to have a chat about discipline. It's such a strong word. It conjures up so many different things. But I think a lovelier word is boundaries.
Yeah.
The boundaries that kids need to get through society, to get to being an adult without having serious issues. Mm. And we're going to kick off with Colette. Boundaries, your best tips.
Oh, boundaries. I love the topic of boundaries because I think boundaries actually allows freedom.
Mm.
I looked up a definition of boundaries and it says something that indicates the farthest limit as of an area or a border.
Yeah.
So it's not something restricting. It actually allows you to go to the farthest ends of something.
I like that. I've not heard that before. Yeah.
And there was a study done. I remember this even from my uni days, but there was this amazing study done of a bunch of kids and they were put onto a field and they were told to play wherever they wanted to play during the designated time space. But there was no fencing or boundary to the field. And what they found was the children sat right in the center of the field, kind of didn't move anywhere because it seemed as though they felt insecure.
Yep.
When the next time, what they did, they took them off, brought them back on a few days later, put a fence around it, and they found the children played right to the very edges of that field.
Awesome.
And I just think it's a great illustration of how boundaries can really be helpful.
Yep, absolutely. And so when kids are struggling to understand the rules and the boundaries, then we see a whole lot of different behavioural issues, don't we?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and for me, boundaries are just vital in terms of allowing children to feel safe, to know where their limits are in terms of what's expected of them. So it's just important for kids and teenagers.
And Katrina, how does it go in your house?
Okay.
How do you work those out?
Yes. Well, I agree with Colette. Boundaries make children feel safe. I think enforcement is very, very important. So if you have a boundary, you have to enforce that boundary.
Yep.
Where I get stuck in this issue with conversations with people is on the issue of punishment. I often don't see the point of punishment because if you've only got to think back to school, it's the same kids getting the cane over and over again. There are times when you need to use punishment, but I think in our own relationships, if we stuff up, which we all do, we let someone down, we put our foot in their mouth, isn't it lovely when people extend grace to us and say, you know what, don't worry about it, it's okay. Mm. I realize you stuffed up and you didn't mean it, but, you know, let's move on. So I think in general, I'm much more interested in this idea of what I would say would be restorative justice as opposed to punitive justice. So that means setting things right. So our role as the parent, I see, is enforce the boundaries, and when the boundaries are broken, let's help to set things right. So what that looks like for me is kid snatches a toy, I need you to give that back and wait for your turn. If you two can't share it, we'll have to put that toy away. Or if you're going to keep hitting your brother, you're going to have to play by yourself because I can't have you hit the brother. That's not fair on him. You know, or I'm sorry, I can't give you a chocolate biscuit if you're going to ask that way.
Mm.
You need to ask nicely. We don't speak to each other like that in this house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being firm and it's being enforcing. So it's not like no discipline,
yep.
But you know, you don't always have to go straight to, well, you're on the naughty chair.
That's right.
Or,
yeah.
You know, straight to sort of whack, you know, because you've just done the wrong thing. We all do the wrong thing. So
yeah. There's a buffer there between the incident happening and then the escalation of, of punishment.
I was just going to say, though, for some things, though, that are repetitive problems, things I think like, yeah, the naughty chair or the star chart or whatever can help if something is being an ongoing problem and it's just not getting through, you know, that's when I think you've got to start thinking about, well, we're going to have to be really methodical about it.
I like what you were saying, how you prefer not to use the word punishment. I think the word consequences is a good term to use.
And natural consequences.
Natural consequences. Yes. In life as adults, if I speed, I get a ticket from the policeman or the traffic officer who stops me, and that's a consequence.
Yeah, I tried to explain this one to my children the other day, and because they've seen a few, like, you know, fairy tale movies, they actually told someone that if they do something when they go to the dungeon. I was like,
yes.
No, we don't. We don't really have a dungeon. But I was explaining that very thing about speeding or, you know, with police and, I was, and fines. And my, that's my son said, yeah, you go to the dungeon. Anyway.
Right. Aaron, I love the dungeon.
We seriously don't have a dungeon.
Tell us about
your dungeon. Yeah. What happens in your house?
My wife will be saying, you're a hypocrite, Aaron. You don't always do this. And I know I don't. This is a stuff I know that has worked with my four kids. Setting up for success. You told us, especially if you set them up for success, don't go past the lolly aisle. Avoid the tanty. You don't have to go there. You're going to have tantrums and you can work through things, but just avoid it. Set up for success. Consistency, my goodness.
Yes.
When I do that, it's all good. Follow through.
If
you say it, you've just got to do it. You've just got to go ahead and do that or remove that thing or they miss out on that. Calm and patient, no anger.
Exactly.
It's a good point. It's so true. Absolutely. It's true. We don't all do it, but it's true.
And the thing is, we're trying to get them to stay in control. Yeah, How can they do that if we can't stay in control?
We just stop doing that. It doesn't work. Yeah. Also, know when to draw the line of the sand and where. So what is really that important to cause the tantrum that's about to come? Is it really that big an issue? I think that's so important. And building into that is, are they just being fun? Are they just being kids? Are they just ticking you off? Or is it a serious naughty issue that they need, a behaviour that needs to be modified, I suppose. Yeah.
And so choosing your battles.
Yeah, choosing your battles says it better. And, that's it.
And expectations, you know. Yeah. Are your expectations of what you can expect of that three-year-old realistic? You've sat in a cafe for 2 hours, you know, is it realistic to expect
to make them stay another hour?
Exactly. Yeah.
They're not little adults. That's an important thing to
grab. One of the nicest things I've heard in a parenting lecture was someone saying, feel, think, act. If you can help them get to that middle part of the think, so they've felt something, they don't just freak out and act, just helping them think. So one of the tips that I heard was if they have to go to the naughty chair or the hallway or whatever it is you do, then when it's time to get out, they say, what do you need to do to get out of the hallway? Restorative, like what was wrong that now needs to be made right? Yeah. And that helps them with the think part. I thought that was pretty cool. I like that one.
And for us to be empathetic, what's this behaviour achieving for them and how can we teach them a better way of getting to that goal?
Yeah. You know? And I think coffee for us.
Not the three-year-old.
Someone told me once when I was having my first child, look, some days you're just going to need to just take a step outside with your cuppa and just take a breath. And I think that's a good one for when.
I think also realizing sometimes I go late night shopping on a Thursday and you see some children having a huge tantrum in the trolley, but it's 9 o'clock at night.
Exactly.
And sometimes the children are having a tantrum not because they're naughty. They should be in bed or they're hungry.
Their
and
needs
like
haven't
that.
Been met.
Yeah. 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 Well, there you go. Another topic we've completely solved in one sitting. But this conversation can continue. So anyone who's listening, you know, go to Hope Mornings Facebook page and let us know. And also that people could write in and ask some questions, guys, if you're cool with that. Hmm. Yeah, we'll set up some new topics. Thanks once again, and we'll catch up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Erica.